I just wanted to get started right now. Father, help us tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord. There's so much going on in this world. But Lord, there's a lot going on in your church. And much, much more to come in the kingdom of heaven. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. You glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Okay, turn over to, let's go over to Numbers, the book of Numbers. And I'll tell you why. I was just telling Brother Art that tomorrow night is the debate between Biden and Trump, which should be interesting. We'll see how it goes. And there's so much that's happening, and the argument, there's not even an argument now, but did you hear that the Ten Commandments has been put into every single school, every public school in Louisiana? The Ten Commandments must be in every single classroom in Louisiana. So there's a lot of people standing against that, but that's a big deal. Really, really a big deal. So you're starting to see the dominoes fall. And it is so interesting. Some of the hard liberals way out there, like reprobates. I don't know if you've seen some of that stuff. Well, sure you have. But that one guy that was running for an office in New York named Morgan, he was just filthy mouthed. He was just dirty. They were showing it on the news, and he got voted out. Huh? Bowman? Yes. He got totally voted out. I mean, they stood against him. The Democrats stood against them because, I mean, they're even going beyond. Okay, so now you're seeing the tide start to turn. Thank you for that, Brother Art. And the dominoes are starting to fall. So the best is yet to come. But I just wanted to see this because, you know, our church, when churches are young, they're all exciting and thrilled, and new people coming in, and there's new growth, and it just spurts up just like a new little plant, and then it ages a little bit, and then people lose interest sometimes. Other mega churches expand because, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that, and that's good. And then you'll see another church spring up somewhere else, and there's a lot of excitement about it, and that's a good thing. But I was praying about tonight and hearing everything going on. And sometimes we just turn the news off and you don't watch it. I'll watch it in the morning to see what's happening. Because if you turn it on again that night, you're going to have the same thing all day long. But you really need to tune in at least once, because you'll hear the same thing all the time. Just to make sure that we know what's going on. Well, there was a group of people that started out right, and they started out, they were young, they were excited, they got out of Egypt's bondage, the people of Israel, and they were so thrilled to be out, and they were jumping up and down, and they were singing songs to the Lord, and they were so thrilled, and they knew that they had some promises ahead of them. They had the promised land, and let me tell you guys, we have a promised land too. You say, well, I know, Pastor, we get to heaven. That's our promised land. Yeah, that's the ultimate for all of us, including Israel, all of us, even the children of Israel. But we also, Peter talked about those exceeding great and precious promises, and that we have the very nature of Christ. So we're in the promised land now, that we are able to live in the kingdom of God. And he said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But Satan does everything he can to rob the church of her righteousness. And if he can get God's people's righteousness, then he gets a hold of the peace, and then he begins to tear at the joy. But I want to tell you tonight that when we get to heaven, yes, we'll wear our clothing in heaven will be a literal robe of righteousness. I mean, we'll just be covered in it. I mean, it'll just be thick. We're covered in it. But we are here too. We are the righteousness of God. You say, but I don't feel like that. But you've got to get a hold of that and get that in your heart and get it in your mind that Jesus died to make us the righteousness of God. And we are. Say, I am. Come on, folks. So Caleb, there were only two people out of those 2 million, some say two, some scholars will tell you maybe there were 4 million traveling through the wilderness, or even I've heard one say, well, a few say 6 million. So let's just say there were 2 million traveling through. Out of those 2 million or 4 million or 6 million or however many there were, only two of them got to go into that promised land. Only two. You all know that story. And you can read it both in Joshua chapter 14 and Numbers chapter 14. Always, always very interesting. And Caleb was a sweet man. Listen, when Moses started to bring those people out of Egypt's bondage, Caleb says, I was 40 years old when that happened. I was 40 years old. He was just prime in his manhood, just coming into a great, strong manhood. And he said, I was 40 when it all started. And by the time they got to the end, a lot of people fell off because they got tired of the wilderness. And they got tired of all the giants in the land and around them. And they got tired of eating old manna, the same old thing every single day, manna. And yet it was such a miracle that came down from heaven. And so over the years, 40 years, I mean, who can blame them? But they got tired. The people got tired and their hearts melted. And you hear so many people today in 2024 that are just tired of hearing it all. We're tired of hanging on to a promise and you don't see the promise. You're between the asking and you're between the promise. And then you get this prayer answered, and if you'll look back, you'll see other prayers that were answered. Over and over and over, prayers were answered. And yet the devil will come and say, but maybe not this one. This one's too big. You can't even go there with him. You cannot allow negative thoughts to start building up. You'll start with one, and then you'll play on that one, and Satan will make a play on it. And when it keeps on and it keeps on, it becomes an avalanche. Or just like a cycle. And that cycle, or more Cirillo used to talk about a cycle of defeat. And he just wants to get us on this cycle of defeat and away from the cycle of miracle living. That's what Morris always taught. But I'm going to tell you, these two men said, we will not have it. Caleb said, I was 40 then. I'm 45 years later. I'm 85 now. But he said, God, just give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. He said, God, I'm stronger now than I was when we started when I was 40. I'm stronger now. And he said, my vision is better than it was way back then when I was 40 years old, and I'm 85 now. So as we age, we really don't have an excuse. Now we can give in to it. I heard yesterday Mike Murdoch teaches on the wisdom keys. You've heard him. Well, now he's 78 years old. And I heard Mike sit there, and of course he's aged a lot. He used to be real handsome and strong, and now he's old and, you know, a little different. But he's still Mike Murdoch, and he can still teach. And he had a little keyboard in front of him, and all of a sudden a song would come to him. And when that song came to him, you know, it gets a little harder to bend over and pick things up. So anyway, Mike had this little keyboard there, and all of a sudden he'd kick off into this song, and the guy can play the song just amazing, and he still does. But listen, he must have said, I'm 78 years old, five times. Now, this is the man that taught us the wisdom keys. An amazing, amazing faith teacher. And yet, he was saying, I'm 78 years old. I'm saying, Mike, you need to stop. You need to quit telling us how old you are. All right, you're going to discourage me. Well, I'm not near that, but he just needed to stop. But I'm saying, see how these things will creep up on us? Well, Caleb didn't let it happen to him. Okay, so you know what? Let's just go over there to Numbers. I think we'll just go into Numbers. Because, gosh, if we go into, Joshua 14. Well, let me just glance to make sure. I'm going to get bogged down over here. Because, boy, you could just read this whole thing. Yeah, let me just prove to you what I just read, what I just said. Joshua 14, 7. 14 and 7, Gabby. All right. Joshua chapter 14, look at verse 7. Here's what young Caleb says. Of course, he's older now. He says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. He was one of the spies. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people what? The people that went with me, he said, they made the people's heart melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. I wholly did it. W-H-O-L-L-I. Why? With all of my heart, I followed God. And he could say that. I mean, he wasn't boasting. He's just telling you. Verse 9. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he has said, these, what, 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now, therefore, God, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke to me in that day. So I want to tell all of you, seniors, but every single one of us are aging. All of us. You know, we get older on the outside. On the inside, our spirit is just like it was at 18, 20 years old. Just the same. We still feel powerful. But I hear the Lord saying, I'm going to restore your youth. I'm going to restore youth to my people, because we're going to need that strength. Because listen, I know that a lot of people prophesy that there's a great glory coming upon the young people. And we're seeing that. Young people being baptized all over the world. And somebody the other day prophesied, and I believe this is true, that Gen Z and Alpha is going to be one of the most anointed generations that we have ever seen. And I believe that. But I also want to say, with all of that, there has to be an anointing for our seniors. How many believe that? Because those kids, those young people, they have a lot of passion, and we're going to need the passion of the youth. But they're going to need the wisdom of those who are older. They're going to need our wisdom. And God will set us in their place and set them with us. And we'll work together just like that. It'll come together. We'll see it. Just like Caleb. He says, no, look, I'm 85, but I'm strong now. Okay, so let's go over to Numbers. Numbers, I'll just leave that there. I just wanted to show you that. You can enjoy that later on. So Numbers, Gabby, would you mind backing up to chapter 13? Let's just go there. There's one verse here I want us to get to that's just so powerful. And by the way, I want to say to Kathy, Peggy's sister, Kathy Carrillo, it's so good to have you in church tonight, Kathy. Honey, I have prayed for you so much, and I'm so glad you're here. I don't know if anyone in this church loves to come to church more than Kathy. And she's the one that's been attacked so much. But thank you, Kathy. I just love your effort for coming tonight. Hallelujah. Would you give her just a big thank you for putting forth? Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to chapter 13, about verse 27, Gabby. Or 25, let's back up to 25. We won't read it all, but we'll just read some of it. Numbers 13, 25. And then they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. 40 days, man. They went through that land with a fine-tooth comb. Oh, verse 27. And when they told him, they told Moses and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. Oh, you're right. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Okay, so now they're carrying this fruit. I mean, they got grapes this big. You can read about how plush everything was there, how just prosperous was those fruit and vegetables. And they've just got great, great manifestations of what they have gathered. And yet, they're holding it. They're holding the promises in their hands just like you and I hold this. We've got the promises in us. But, however, they said, but, and it does flow with milk and honey, you're right, Moses. Nevertheless, the people, thank you, Brother Danny. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land, look at this, they're strong, they got big mouths. Somebody say amen, I just threw that in. Because the devil's people are always, always talking louder and stronger and more boastful and acting like they're going to eat you for lunch. Okay, so they said, yeah, all that's true. Verse 28, look at this, nevertheless, the people who dwell there, they're strong, the cities are fortified, and man, these are the descendants of Anak. You know who that is? That's the giants then. Okay, these guys are 9 feet tall. Oh, the giants are there. Verse 30, and then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. In one of the other translations, it said he quieted them with his hand, either like this or shh, but he quieted them down because they were getting all excited and tore up about it. Yeah, we want the fruit, but we don't know if it's worth it to go over. We don't even know if it's worth it to just keep on going, Moses. Keep on being faithful. Why should we? Oh, verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, "Let us go up. Let us go up at once and take possession of it, for we are well able to overcome it." Some of you cut your teeth on that line in the 80s. We are well able to overcome it. This is that 85-year-old man talking. You got the whippersnapper saying, "We don't know. We don't want to go in there. Those guys are 9 feet. I'm only 6 feet tall, Moses. I'm only 5 feet." And no, Caleb says, look, Moses, we're well able to do this. We'll go up against them. They are stronger than we." Oh, no, excuse me, verse 31. "So, but the men who had gone up with him," what did he say? He said, we're well able to overcome it. Verse 31, "but the men," changed the story, "but the men who had gone up with Caleb said, 'We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than us.'" That financial difficulty is stronger than me. This marriage thing is stronger than me. This problem we're looking at, we've never gone this way before. But there's also, I feel like your spirit tells you, you've got a spirit within you that is so perfect and so sanctified, and it is so full of righteousness within you that says, "I can do this. Oh yeah, I can do this." But then you got this loudmouth devil on the outside saying, "You're not going to be able to take this mountain." Verse 32. "And they gave the people of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature.'" Okay, did you hear that? "This land is full of spies. and it devours its inhabitants. Okay, that's why the world just gives us a bad report. That's why, Brother Art, you're like, nah, I don't want to hear it. No, we don't want to hear it. We get tired of hearing it. Because the world is constantly giving us a bad report over and over and over. The lies, the mess, the truth of the matter. There's all kinds of stuff. So they're always giving a bad report. And we saw people of great stature. Well, remember, Jesus was a man of great stature. And he said, greater is he that is in you than he that's out there of great stature and great lies and great filth. And tells you, how many times have you turned on the news or heard somebody at Walmart or Save Mart tell you, oh, America's going to hell in a handbasket? Don't you let anyone tell you that again. Don't you ever let them tell you that, because America is not. Not at all. But see, that's how they talk. Verse 33. There over in the promised land, we saw the giants. They were descendants of Anak, and they came from giants, and we were like grasshoppers. To who? To them? No, we were grasshoppers in our own eyes. And so since we were grasshoppers in our own eyes, we're grasshoppers in their eyes. They just felt like grasshoppers. We're nothing. We're nothing. Church, we can't feel that way. All right, now look, if you listen and these people look like grasshoppers, then they're going to act like that in front of the enemy, and the enemy's going to mock them even more. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices, cried, and the people did what? They wept that night. How many times have you wept much of the night or stayed awake most of the night worrying and struggling and have negative thoughts about something that you cannot change? I think we all do it now and then. But you got to get a grip and say, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to rise above this. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he told us, he made us to sit far above principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness and darkness in high places. So when that happens to me, I'll say, Lord, I just need to have a seat with you. I'm seated there, I know. But I need to be aware of it in my head. I've got it in my heart, but I got to know. Because, listen, when you start weeping all night long because you've heard a voice, because you've heard the doctor's report, because you saw the bank reports or deposits, then you can weep all night long. And you can get all worked up about things. And I mean, sometimes they're really big things. They're things about family or friends or church, all kinds of things. But they wept. Verse 2, and all the people of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation. And they said, if we had only died in the land of Egypt, or if we had only had died in the wilderness, it'd be better than being out here with these giants, almost ready to go in and look at this mess. Verse 3, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? Why? That our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us just to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us just select a leader and return to Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly and the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. Here's the verse I want to get to. They spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land that we passed through to spy out, this is Joshua and Caleb speak, trying to comfort the people. This is an exceedingly good land. Remember where the Bible says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all things we ask or think. Same thing. All right. They said, listen, folks, listen. This is an exceedingly good land. Verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Verse 9, here it is. Circle it, highlight it. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. What? No, they're not our bread. They'll take us out. They will devour us. What Caleb and Joshua are saying here is, do not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. What are they saying? We will eat them for lunch. We will devour them. The church, the glory of God, is going to devour this mess in America and around the world. Amen? Yeah, the church will devour it by the hand of God. Look at this, look. Their protection has departed from us? No, it's departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Do not fear that. The Lord is with us, and we will devour them. They will be our bread and butter. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. You say, well, I wish you'd hurry up and get here. Oh, no, it's in the making. It's working now. Many of you have already come into it. But he said, I'm just telling you, do not rebel against the plan of God. Don't fear the people. They're our bread. Now, listen, when he says their protection has departed, we're seeing that happen, Portia, every single day in the news. That's what we're starting to see right now. The protection of these far-left people and the people that don't care about the border, letting these people, they're not people. They're not people, ones that would abuse a child like those two men did under that bridge. I won't even go there. Anyone that could do that, their protection has departed. There's no protection over them. There is a protection. There's lawlessness in America. But the law of God is still in effect. Amen? So he says, yeah, their protection has departed, but the Lord, say it with me, the Lord is with us. Do not fear. And the congregation said, stone them. Go ahead and stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. He came anyway. When they said, just stone Moses, we don't even want to hear this mess. Just get rid of him. Look at verse 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs I have performed among them? They've seen signs over and over and over and over. Debbie wrote to me this morning. She says, Pastor, I believe we saw a miracle last night or this morning. I said, Debbie, write it down. There's times that we see miracles and we don't thank God for it. Verse 16, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. You know why? They joined a Sunday I was talking about with people detached themselves from God. They pull away from him. They pull away from their house, his house. They pull away. It will lead them into places they don't want to go. And they will stay a lot longer than they wanted to stay. And they'll go out farther than they wanted to go. And then they're wondering, how did I get out here? It's a very, very dangerous place to be. And so it's best to stay close to God, stay where his people are, stay in the tents. And just remember this. I'll close with this. You can read the whole thing when you get home. But go over to Numbers 14, verse 22. God says, I can't take them in. Only two people, and that was Caleb and Joshua, and everybody under 20 years old. Because those who were over 20, they had already messed up their thinking. Verse 22, because all these men have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt in the wilderness, and they put me to the test these 10 times, and they have not heeded my voice, they certainly will not see the land of which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 24, look. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley tomorrow tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by the Red Sea. They took off. The minute Caleb and Joshua went in, the descendants of Anak took off. So I'm telling you, church, stay close to God. You have a different spirit in you. We have to hold on to that. I know there's just a few people here tonight, and I am not moved one ounce. I don't need a prophet to come in here and tell us what day we're in and what God is going to do with his glory. I don't need that. I know it. I know it in my heart. He says Caleb has a different spirit in him, and so do you. We all do. If we love God, and you're the faithful ones. And so he said, I will bring you into that land. What land? Our land. Our land is full of milk and honey. It's those exceeding great and precious promises. Call on them, church. Call on them. Remember, prayer is the greatest weapon we have. It's the greatest tool in our spiritual box. It's prayer. Let's pray a few minutes here with the Lord and talk to him and call on his promises. Because we live in this land already. Oh, we see giants all around us, but you overcome them one by one. I mean, you overcome giants at work every day. You overcome giants in your family all the time. Nobody else even knows the stuff you're going through. Kathy, you live alone with all that sickness, all that that's on you. You've overcome the giant. BJ, nobody knows the giants that you've overcome. No one knows the giants I've overcome. You, Norma, you just shared a little bit. There's all kinds. But he said, you've got a holy heart. You follow me fully. So come on, let's pray. Wonderful Jesus, thank you. Meet us here tonight. I know you'll hear our prayers. We love you so much. We honor you. In the name of the Lord. Amen. You know, in the Old Testament, God had natural armies. But ever since Jesus, he's been building an army, a spiritual army. And aren't you glad we're volunteers? We weren't drafted, we're volunteers, and we're a part of the mightiest army on earth. And it's getting mightier and mightier and greater things to come. You know, Jesus said in John, everybody talks about greater works than these shall you do. We need to back up a line where he says, you shall do the same works that I do now. You shall do that. I'm like, Lord, I just want to do the same works you did. And then we can worry about greater works. Let's just do the same. He commanded us to do that, amen. Father, thank you for these sweet and wonderful people. We love your church, and we love you, and we have volunteered in this army. You've called every one of us. We're different officers in the kingdom. Lord, we're like a brick house. There's some bricks above us, some below us, some beside us. We're all different areas, but Lord, we don't even know what you're getting ready to bring. Because you said, no eye has seen it, no ear has heard it, no mind can even tell what I've planned. But Lord, all I know is we say, yes, Lord. Come on, lift your hand, just say, yes, Lord. My answer is yes. Hallelujah, the old song we used to sing. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Yes, 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 Lord. Oh, yes, in the good times, yes, in the bad times, it's yes to you, yes to our trust in you. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his beautiful countenance towards you, and give you peace. Keep you from all harm and danger. May your home, your family, everything about you that pertains to you be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. I love you guys. See you soon.